Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Starting out a little differently on this Tuesday, Dan Burstein with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we go right now to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And we welcome Cubs General Manager Jed Hoyer to The Score. Jed, how are you?
Dan, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well enough, as everything is sort of swirling around us here in unexpected ways. In that regard, you guys found yourselves with some time off here. How did you turn or try to turn a negative into a positive?
Yeah, I think Rossi and the coaches did a great job with that, just realizing that, you know, this is 2020. We're going to have some things happen. We're going to have some delays and some doubleheaders and unexpected or even unwanted days off, and you just have to deal with that, and there's no point in complaining. And so they sort of made it into an all-star break, and that's kind of how they advertised it, and I think that's the right way to look at it. You know, every year we have 4 days off in the middle, and we just had 4 days off, and, you know, there's no point in thinking about anything other than the positive, which is, you know, hopefully we had some nicks and bruises and soreness that we got rid of, and you know, let's go back and play good baseball the way we were before the break.
What has surprised you about this start?
Nothing surprised me. I think our energy has been tremendous. You know, every night our guys are into it. They come to play. You know, they know they don't have the fan energy, so they sort of bring their own. And I just love the way every night seems to be the same effort. You know, you don't win every night, but I feel like the effort's been the same every night, and that's all you can ask for. You know, I think that, you know, it hasn't been perfect by any stretch, but at the same time, it's been, from an effort level standpoint and, a clubhouse standpoint, it's been ideal. And I think that's something we can control.
Last time we talked, you mentioned that health and adherence to protocols would be a competitive advantage. And I think we're seeing how that plays out and how that can be and how you're absolutely right about that. How does it make you feel as an organization that to this point really has in painstaking fashion tried to do the right thing from top to bottom? How does it make you feel when you see not just the Marlins and the Cardinals, but specifically what just happened with Cleveland, where you had guys saying one thing publicly but doing something else?
Yeah, and I'm really proud of our guys. You know, they've taken it very seriously. You know, I agree from top to bottom. We've, you know, spent the extra money where needed to make sure we could have do the right things and treat the players the right way, and the players have really responded. And I think you have to. I think that this is the kind of thing where you can do everything right, and you can still have a bad situation. You know, like it's not something you can totally control, but I do think you can control making bad decisions and control a lot of it. And I think we've done a terrific job of that. And hopefully we just continue to, you know, to avoid positive tests, to keep our guys on the field. And, you know, there's a good vibe with the club as a result, because I think that they're binding together to take this really seriously. And, you know, so far it's been done really well.
But as a league, as MLB, you're all in this together. And it just has to be immensely frustrating when you see other teams. And I don't know if there's just different internal messaging or there's teams that aren't listening to what the league is saying, if it's not sort of standardized. But, I mean, what's your response when you hear about what happens with Plesac or with Clevinger, and that the team that Cleveland didn't even find out until later that Clevinger had also been out? I mean, that's their responsibility to contact trace and isolate. You know, your response got to be like, come on, you know, why can't everybody do what you're doing?
Well, I mean, and Cleveland as an organization, you know, from top to bottom is fantastic. And I think that this has been a great eye-opener. I think, you know, when an organization that does things the right way, that takes these protocols really seriously, when they have a situation like this, it makes you realize that we really just have to kind of stay on message and keep reemphasizing it. Because as I think I've said on the show before, you know, this isn't the kind of thing you can say, we did a great job, we're through the woods. I mean, you have to do this every day as long as you're playing. You can never kind of let up that vigilance. And I think that, you know, in Cleveland's situation, they'd been a great situation, and hopefully this didn't result in an outbreak, but they certainly had a lapse. And I think you realize you just can't have any of those lapses. And listen, I understand from the player standpoint, I think there's an exhaustion element to it. It's taxing, it's tiresome. And I think that's what we have to avoid, is that, you know, right now we're only like 3 weeks into the season. We've been doing this, I guess, since around 4th of July. You know, we have a lot more to go. And I think that there's an endurance factor that we have to really push, because you can't get tired. You can't get bored of it. You have to just keep doing it.
Do you think the reclamation project for Craig Kimbrell, based on everything you said very candidly, talking about where he is and what he has to do, what are your goals for him this year? If this thing works, does he just come back full bore to be something resembling the closer he was?
It's hard to say. I think I would say this. Like, I've seen some strange things over the years where a guy is struggling as bad as you can imagine, and then something clicks and he's right back to himself. And I'll use a hitting example. You know, in 2010, I just left, but, you know, David Ortiz went, you know, beginning of the season, he couldn't hit a fastball over 88 miles an hour. And it just looked like, oh my God, he's, you know, this might be over. And the next thing you know, like, you know, a couple adjustments later, and he's back to Big Poppy, and he's hitting balls all over the ballpark. And you think, wait, what did I just watch for 6 weeks? And I've seen that happen time and time again, where a guy is really struggling, and then all of a sudden something clicks in and he's back. And I mean, so yeah, I think that, you know, right now I think there's real mechanical struggles, you know, going on with Craig, and he's not himself. And the way you know that is he's getting hit. You know, this is a guy that's gone, you know, 10-year major league career without getting hit, you know, and, all of a sudden, you know, his ball is finding some barrels. And when that's happening, you know that there's something mechanical going on. I think we've identified it, but it's hard to make those changes. And so we're working hard to do that. But I do think that, you know, if it clicks and he sort of figures out those cues and can get back to where he normally is, yeah, there's no reason to think that he can't get right back to where he was. It's not always a gradual improvement. Sometimes it's just you snap your fingers and a guy gets back to doing the things he's supposed to do.
Well, the data doesn't lie. I've seen multiple studies. Baseball Prospectus did one, and Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic put a bunch of stuff together. It's where the ball's coming out of his hand and how that's shaping his pitches. The release point has dropped, and it's absolutely changed everything. It's easy to say he can get into pitch lab and look at everything slowed down and say, yeah, release it here instead of here. Why is it so much harder than that?
Adrenaline, honestly. You know, I think that, you know, not to use golf as the example, but it's easy to, you know, in a golf lesson to hit balls straight and to do those things. And, you know, when you get on the tee and the wind's blowing in your face, it's hard to slow everything down and calm down and not swing harder. And I think that players are no different, you know, that when you get into a game in competition, it's really hard to remember the things you're working on and to not do them. And some of the things you're doing the adrenaline creates some of those problems. And that's really the issue. You know, we tell our players all the time, we tell them, you know, you need to, there's times to work on your mechanics, and there's times to improve your mechanics, and there's times you have to go compete and beat the guy at the plate or beat the pitcher. And so in some ways, like, these guys are doing what they're told. You know, they get into the game and it's competition time. And it's really hard to get into a game and face a major league hitter in a big situation and slow everything down and focus on those mechanics. And so in some ways there's a muscle memory aspect of it that has to click in before you can really do it. Otherwise you're going to revert back to that bad habit when you have to, you know, beat that guy at the plate.
And these decisions about the back end of the bullpen, about these high leverage spots, have to be made regarding a playoff push in 20 days. The trade deadline is less than 3 weeks away, which to me is almost incomprehensible. So I want to talk about two aspects of this. First of all, your self-evaluation, and then how you look at the rest of the league and the usual poker game that is kind of a slow walk that in this case really isn't. What is the internal assessment going on right now? Even though you hate to do it, you have to do it.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I think at this point we've played 13 games, so I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, I think that obviously our bullpen struggled out of the gate. I think it's thrown better, you know, of late certainly, and you know, I think that everyone's done a good job of identifying some of the guys that are throwing well and getting those guys in the right spots, and it's been better. But you know, certainly, you know, in any year you're always looking to bolster the bullpen. Especially in a year, you're going to be looking to do that in a year where, you know, there's going to be, you know, more injuries and potentially more guys out and even a bigger roster. So, but yeah, I think that's going to be really difficult. And I think that, as a result, I think that there's going to be a lot of action as you get really close to that deadline, because people are going to want to use all the time possible for those self-assessments. And also, I mean, with, you know, 16 teams out of 30 making the playoffs, there's going to be, and a lot of teams in the race as a result, you know, I think that teams are going to want a lot of time before they have to decide what they want to do as well, you know, and in order to be a buyer, there has to be a seller, and identifying those sellers is harder this year than some years. So I think there'll be a wait and see approach, and I think that we'll get action as you get closer to that end of the month date.
Is it also then difficult to explore your on the pro personnel side? Obviously, there's opportunity in this sort of chaos and uncertainty of maybe unearthing a target that you wouldn't otherwise have seen because of the larger rosters. Are you know, maybe some guys are getting promoted ahead of time? Are you getting some looks at some players you didn't think you would otherwise get?
Yeah, our pro department is doing a great job right now, and they're, you know, working hard to identify all the right guys. But you're right. It does seem almost surreal to be talking about a trade deadline when we played 13 games, you know, and it's crazy, but that's the world we're in. And all we can do is make the best of it. So yeah, we'll certainly be active in trying to identify the right guys to help us.
Hearing reports this morning, Jeff Passan says that MLB is looking at the success of the NBA bubble and the NHL bubble and thinking that if this playoff thing is going to work, they might have to approach it similarly. Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York are being looked at potentially as places to convene pods of playoff teams. Where is your knowledge of these discussions right now?
Probably about the level of the article. I mean, I know that they've been exploring it, and it makes a lot of sense to explore it. The Marlins and the Cardinals outbreaks happen on the road, and you know, one of the things that happens in the playoffs is you travel a lot. You know, travel in the playoffs is harder to schedule. You know you're gonna play a 2 out of 3 series, and you're gonna play a 3 out of 5 series, and you know, if you're traveling, I know you're not traveling during the, you know, multiple times during the first round, but you know, if you're traveling multiple times each round, you're just adding to the possibility of having exposures. And I think given that travel, and a lot of it's really late at night and like I said, unplanned, I think the right thing to do is to talk about it. Like, can we have a neutral site bubble for the postseason? Will that, you know, keep everyone safe? I think for multiple reasons. Obviously you want to get through the playoffs and make sure we complete it once we start it. I think that's number one. But even number two is, You want the best teams to, and all the teams to stay healthy, so the best team really, you know, goes forward. And you know, having outbreaks, even if they're small during the postseason, just limits the ability to make sure that teams are at full strength. So I think the NBA and NHL have done a great job with this, and I think it wasn't feasible for us to do it for a whole season. There's just too many people and too many games. But I do think that when you're talking about a month and you're talking about a playoff that you know, a bubble that keeps getting smaller as the playoffs eliminate teams, I think there's a lot of logic to discussing it, given the fact that travel is so difficult.
What have you learned at this point about the game itself in this season without fans and how that affects the way you watch or the way you communicate in game? Are you trying to keep it as similar as possible, you know, maybe sitting up in the box with Theo having a beer, or are you closer to the action? Is it easier to have in-game communication, or are you keeping things the way it would otherwise be?
So I think the in-game part is sort of the surreal part for us, because there's probably 10 people in the whole stands, and we're sitting back in the scout section watching, and you know, they have the crowd noise loud enough. You can't really hear that much on the field, but it's just strange to be in Wrigley Field, incredible setting, and with 10 people watching a game. I think the part for me that I'm most impressed with is that the intensity of the game is the same. I didn't know if that was going to happen. I didn't know what the product would look like without fans. And I think we've seen some really impressive baseball. We've seen really good games and really crisp play, and watching these teams go at it, I think it makes you realize, I think, A, how good they are as players, and B, you realize that these guys have played games in front of no fans or a few fans for most of their life, right? That these guys grew up playing in, you know, high school, you know, junior high school games that didn't have many fans, or even some summer league games or minor league games that were, you know, sparsely attended, and they're competing. And I think that they don't, you know, I thought the fans would have more to do with the quality of play and the crispness, and it really hasn't. And I think that's been really impressive. And then the other thing is, I think the pitching is ahead of the hitting still. Some of that is just where the game is right now in general, that pitching is so good and so dominant that it's hard to hit. And then some of it probably is that the pitching was able to get more stuff done during the layoff and they're still ahead. But you know, when you see batting averages this low as a league, there's definitely some cause for concern. And I hope that as we keep playing, that'll go up a little bit.
Talking with Jed Hoyer on Sports Radio 670, WSCR, The Score, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. What is happening that we're not seeing on the development side? Without a minor league season, how are you keeping tabs on prospects and making sure that you're keeping the value of those prospects as high as possible when so many of them aren't playing baseball?
Yeah, I think our player development department's done a fantastic job of that, and they're in constant communication with our guys. And you know, there's a variety of different setups. You know, some guys are able to throw full bullpens all the time and throw to hitters, and some guys aren't. But you know, I think we've sort of looked at it as it's all relative. That obviously playing, you know, a full minor league season is the best thing for these guys. I don't think there's any question about that, but you know, in the absence of that, if we can improve our players more than other teams, even if they wouldn't have improved as much as if they played a season, if it's better that relative to other teams, then that's still real progress. And so we just have to view it that way, is we have to develop our players and be more creative with our players than other teams are. And if we can do that, I think we can be successful. And it's taken a lot of diligence from our guys, and I think they've done a great job. And I think even going back to what I just said about hitting and pitching, I think from a pitching standpoint, I think you're able to do more with arm strength or pitch design or mechanics than you are with hitting. Hitting's really hard to improve without reps against the best pitching. And I think that's our ultimate challenge. I think it's harder to develop or continue to stay in the same progression with offensive players than it is with pitchers.
When do you expect Jose Quintana back, and what are you seeing with the ball coming out of his hand?
Well, he's throwing three innings today, and that'll be a good test for him. And I mean, listen, I think he says he feels great. You know, he worked so hard, you know, prior to this, and I think he was primed to have a really big season, and then he got hurt, and he's working his way back. But I think he's going to get back to where he should be. But, you know, I think he's still in the process of doing that, and today is going to be a big test for him, you know, throwing three innings.
Lastly, I end shows during these times by telling people to listen to doctors and only listen to people who listen to doctors. And I know you are very involved with so many of the fine doctors at Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago and in Robert H. Lurie Hospital. And I think you serve on the board as well. What can you tell us about all that's going on there as things are, you know, it's not like children's illnesses, injuries, anything take time off in any circumstances.
Well, no, I think that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, with with COVID is that, you know, we've got this new disease that everyone is concerned about and rightfully, but all the rest of the things don't stop, you know. Children and adults are still getting sick in so many different ways. And the last thing we can do as a society is just forget about all those other illnesses and only focus on this one. And, you know, your kids are still getting sick and they still need to get better. And I think that, Lurie's has done an incredible job of, you know, being safe during this time and still treating, you know, the kids of Chicago and really the kids of the entire Midwest as well as possible. So, I mean, listen, I'm super proud to be on the board. They've done an amazing job. And, you know, I think obviously in this time, I think that, you know, money is tight for everybody, but I do feel like if you're looking to give to a wonderful cause, certainly giving to Lurie's and making sure that the kids of this region are in as good a hands as possible, that's certainly a wonderful donation and a great way to sort of honor all the first responders and all the doctors that have done a great job during this period.
And if people want to make that difference today, they can go to luriechildrens.org/donate. Well, here's to a successful restart and onward with all the positive energy with this surprisingly efficient and interesting Cubs team this year. Before I want to mention this too, Jed, and because I said this just as an observer, this has been the way the Cubs have played has been so satisfying as opposed to the last couple years when it's just been, and we hear it in Jed's frustration, in Theo's frustration in his postseason press conferences, of the runners on base that don't get knocked in, of the walks that are issued, or a play that's not made in the field. For some reason, in just this early start, not only has the record shown it, as an observer, as a fan, on so many levels, it's really been satisfying. And I guess that's a testament to David Ross, but it's just how I've felt watching the team play.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to that, and I think that there's a there's a crispness that I feel like we've played with, an energy and a crispness, and that I think is, you know, besides rundowns,
right.
But there's an energy and a crispness that we play with that's been really satisfying, and I think part of the reason that we were frustrated the last couple of years is that we saw this team and most of the same players play that way, you know, 15, 16, you know, the second half of 17, where you just felt like we didn't make mistakes. We made all the right plays. It was an immensely satisfying group of players to watch. And I think that we got away from some of those things last couple of years with our defense and our base running. And it feels like we're right back there. You know, I think, you know, the left side of the infield in particular has played, you know, fantastic, you know, defense this year. And I feel like we're, we're on the road back to where I think we need to be in that regard. And it's the margin for error in our division is really small. And I think that, giving extra outs on the bases or giving extra outs on defense is going to kill you in our division. And I just think that we've done a excellent job so far of, you know, taking care of our outs and playing inspired baseball. And I think it's shown so far.
Here's to more of it. Thanks for joining us. Good health.
All right, thanks. Take care. See ya.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.